Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting at the round table talking to mothers and daughters around the world. That's right, around the world. It's amazing. Oh my God, a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. The weather is gorgeous and God is so awesome. You know, people complain because the winter looked like it was going on and spring was never going to really come and stay. It peeped its head out and then it went back in, and someone put on one of the social medias that my daughter was telling me, the resurrection spring. You know, but I said, but then just give them a few weeks of some warm weather and they'll start complaining about it's too hot. But we have to understand that God is in control. He owns the universe. He decides what the weather's going to be like, when it's going to rain, when the sun's going to shine, when the moon's going to shine. That's God's business. Excuse me. Excuse me. That's God's business. And all we need to do is have faith in God and trust Him. If it's a rainy day, sometimes it has to take a rainy day to get people just to be still, just to stay in the house, sometimes to rest and not run all over the place. The sun's out, people just look out, and say, oh, I need to go here, I need to go there. It's raining. You don't make a decision. I don't need to go. I'll stay in. It's raining. I don't want to get out there in the rain. I don't want to get wet. So, you know, God has a sense of humor. He has a way of slowing us down. He has a way of getting our attention. He has a way of allowing us to go through things so that we can come to Him and trust Him through the process. He has the strategy. He has the plan, and we have to follow through with the visions that He show us. He only shows us part of the plan. Keep in mind, mothers and daughters, we do not have the plan, okay? We just have little snippets of the plan, in which if you're a Christian and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit revealing things to you, you get to see and understand at a deeper level. So when you get that, sometimes people may think, well, you know, I'm closer to God than someone else, so he's going to tell me first, and you're never going to know the plan. Because he says not even Jesus will know when the time, when it's time for Jesus to come, he's just going to tell Jesus, okay, it's time for you to go. You know, Jesus don't even know even the hour or the time, okay? So with that being said this morning, good morning. I have good news for you. God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world, and I welcome you to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio, where we are talking, like I said again, to mothers and daughters around the world. And why are we doing that? We are preparing a place for mothers and daughters to come and nurture their relationships. That's all we do here. We talk about relationships between mothers and daughters. We have people come on audience, as you're listening, you know, you may, you know, not click, because typical radio is that you listen to radio. You listen to radio. You watch television. There's not a lot of interaction. But every once in a while, you'll have a live talk show such as this that you actually can call in if you want, if you have something you want to say. But we don't mind. We see you. We know that you're there and you're listening. So, and I know if you're listening, you're going to get something. God is going to speak to your heart, and you're going to realize, you know what? That's just for me. Or that's for my sister and her daughter. Or I'm going to tell my friend at work and her daughter, you know, or that's for me and my mother. You know, it works the opposite way, too, because daughters are listening, too, and they realize, you know, that's who my mother's being. So the whole thought around this program is based on just triggering an intro conversation, that ongoing conversation in your head, just to trigger something in that, that you will start a conversation within yourself and actually figure, okay, now what do I need to do with this? And you hear the information, talk it through, go to the Lord with it. You know, so we're just dropping little seeds, just words, what we call seeds. They're words that will grow in your intro conversation and penetrate into your heart and manifest in your behavior. So today we got one word for you, and we're going to talk about that one word. And that one word, we're hoping that it will spread like wildfire. I would say like lilies in the field. That sounds a little more sweeter. Lilies in the field. Just everywhere you go, you just see lilies all up on the hillsides, just running all down by the base of the ground and before you get to the ocean. Just the lilies everywhere. Just imagine one word being able to penetrate your intro conversations and have that spread from mothers to daughters to granddaughters and great-great-granddaughters, and just going right through a generation of women. We are based on Ezekiel 16:44, where God says, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Very powerful word for mothers and daughters, because if you would take those words and you would just meditate on those words will open up a gamut of intro conversation that will generate concern enough to seek out the answers in which you are holding from within. We all have questions in our mind, in our hearts that we're carrying around, things that we want to say to our mothers, but we say, oh, well, I just let it go. No, I don't know if she'll tell me the truth anyway. But you're carrying it around. And don't you know, when you're carrying those things around, you're talking about it in your intro conversation. It's occupying your consciousness. And if you don't really go and get the answer, seek the answer, then it will affect you in your decision making. It will affect you in how you treat your daughter. It will affect you on the man that you choose to date or to marry. It will affect you on the decisions that you make for, you know, accepting a friend, a girlfriend in your life, the type of work environment. It will affect all you do because you have unsettled business and unsettled conversation in your head about your mother or your daughter. It's just, you just can't get past it. It's going to do that. So in the meantime, what I say to you is that if you have the question, go get the answer. Go get the answer. It's not going to resolve itself. You have got to go to the person, mother or daughter, and this extends beyond mothers and daughters. It can go to a friend, a colleague. Don't just carry it around in your heart, because your intro conversations, all they're going to do is just actually increase, multiply, and that's what gets people crazy, because then you want to react, and then you really take it out on the wrong person, really. Most times when somebody just snap at you and you don't know why they're snapping at you, what in the world? It's because you are there at the time when their intro conversations decide to explode. And there you are, the victim of a tragedy that was really not pointed to you. So with all that being said, I've just gotten off on this thing. I don't know what. I didn't even get into the prayer. I'm so used to having Cynthia here with me. Cynthia's not here with me this morning. Cynthia's in, I can't think of the name of the town, but she's in another part of Florida. They're doing a play this weekend. And so we wish them the very best. I know it's going to be good, because basically anything she put her hands to, she put her hand to it from her heart, and it's going to be the best that she can do. And her son is in the play, and I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. I can't even think of the lady's name that they're up there doing the play for. Please forgive me. I don't know if they're out there listening or not, but, you know, it is absolutely a pleasure. But I tell you, when I'm on here without Cynthia, sometimes I feel like my half is gone, you know what I mean, because we bounce off each other. And she usually do the prayer in the morning, and I just jumped off and started going. So let me just stop one moment and just say, Father God, we just thank you this morning. Thank you so very, very much for this opportunity. It is absolutely an honor and a pleasure to be able to get up on Saturday morning and to greet you and just love on you as you have loved on me and all the listening audience. And wherever Cynthia's at this morning, we ask you to bless her and all that she puts her hands to and her family. And Father God, this morning we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do with the Mother and Daughter Bible College, with the Mother and Daughter programs that we put on, you know, with the Butterfly Awards, even, you know, the counseling. And Father, you're so good to us that you'll send us someone when we least expect. You'll give us an assignment, and you know that we take it. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord, can we handle this? You know, but we do it anyway. So, mothers and daughters, all I'm saying as I make this prayer, that whatever God asks us to do, just do it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, just do it. That's all you got to do. Just do it, you know, because what else is there to do? What are you going to do? You know, you can run out there and try to help man all you want, but man don't have a place to put you when it's time your name is called, it's time for you to come home, and you don't have a home to go to because, what, you've been trying to please man? Come on. It's just not going to work. You've got to put something up. Is that, when I was coming up, there was a song that's like sending up timber to build me a home in heaven, you know what I mean? And I used to couldn't understand that. I'm like, how do they send timber up to heaven so that they can build them a house? You know, when you're little, you just don't understand how those things go. But now I know it's the word, it's the communication, it's the prayer, it's you know, sending up those words to God and letting them know, I'm here, I love you, I trust you, I'm following you. You know, my faith is in you. I'm working for you. That's how you're going to prepare. But when you are doing it unto man, God says what? You got your reward. There's nothing I can do for you because you've already got it for man. You're not going to get double pay. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm sitting at the round table this morning without Cynthia. And so, well, we're going to get through this. And call a friend at and tell them to call 347-539-5078. And they can join us, or, you know, like most people do, they go back to our website, mdbn.org, to listen to the show. Or you can go on Blog Talk Radio and click on air and see the Mother and Daughter Bonded Network and click on it. So there's so many ways that you can do it. So you can listen at it whenever you feel like it. We just appreciate you listening. And to the listening audience, I thank you this morning for joining us. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters. All you have to do is one thing. Very simple. Mothers and daughters, all that you have to do is one thing. Think about that. One thing. Not five, not even two, not many, just one thing. One thing. And God says, okay, I'm going to make it very simple for you. You know, sometimes you have excuses. There's not going to be an excuse because we are built like a computer. We have so much data space. We have so much space to obtain in our subconscious mind. Everything that you hear, see, think, smell, taste, any environment is taken in. It is stored in that data space. You don't even have a clue, I don't, of the capacity of information and abilities, because we do the same things over and over again. We really mock other people. We look at them, oh, they're wearing the hair that way, I'm going to wear mine that way. Most people don't get outside the box. They don't go into what God has given them, the creativity that God has provided them, because you have a talent. You're so busy trying to be someone else that you fail to be who you are. And therefore, God doesn't get the pleasure from you. He created each person as an individual. You're very unique. There's no one else like you. And when you find that uniqueness, no one can do what you do. They can emulate you. They can try to take what you do, but they cannot do what you do that God has provided for you to do. Once you discover that, hold on to that. Don't deviate. Now, the challenge is going to be, do you really believe it? Do you believe that what you feel in your heart that God has told you to do, that's the truth? Do you believe that? Because most people, that's where they fall. They waver. Well, I thought he asked me to do it. But, you know, you think by now it would have worked out. And then this is the typical thing. When you having these intro conversations, those are ongoing conversations in your head, that's your private conversation. Nobody gets into that but God. See, God hears you. So you're having these intro conversations, very, you know, combative, you know, but when people see you, you're smiling and you got on your best dress and you're looking like you just walked out of a magazine and everything is just really, really nice in my world. Look at me, hello world. But inside, you are battling some intro conversation, and it brings about fear. As a Christian clinical psychologist, I tell my clients, I said, you know, I'm here for you, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you wake up and those intro conversations are trying to beat you up, trying to make you feel like you're less than, how dare that you think you can do this? And you know that you know that you know that you know in your heart that God told you to do it, prepared you to do it, then you have to hold on to that. There's nothing else for me to do but mother and daughter. I don't do anything else. If it doesn't concern mother and daughters, their relationship, their finances, their education, their mental growth, there's nothing for me to do because I'm assigned to this. This is my anointing, and when I deal with mothers and daughters, the anointing shows up. The Holy Spirit comes, and miracles happen. And for anyone out there that have seen this in action, they can tell you. It's not me. Because if it was me, I would do it every day. It only comes when I'm assigned to go out. And when I do, not a mother and daughter that come before me that the Holy Spirit doesn't heal. I don't care if they haven't spoken in 40 years. You give them a 2-hour period of time, it's like they've been reborn. The memory disc has been erased and replaced with the topic that we're dealing with today. Mothers and daughters, you don't have to do but one thing. And that one thing covers it all. But before we get into that one thing, I want to go back just a little bit because this is closing out. I didn't even know it was a series until this morning. I saw the Holy Spirit moving. I saw how he was putting it together. And so I'm just following the flow because I don't know anything. I just get up and say, what is it that we're talking about today? And let it happen. Because back in the day, we're 9 years now on this radio program on Saturday morning. Back in the day, I used to try to come up with topics, what I thought was going on in the week and what I thought people need to hear. And It was work. It was work, and it was stressful. And until I really got it, this is not about you, Bessie. This is not about you. This is about following the Holy Spirit. You said, I'll let you lead me. Well, then do it, Bessie. And once I relaxed and decided, okay, I'm done. I'm going to relax. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me. Then it became very easy. So I don't have to get up in the morning rushing and running around like chicken with its head cut off. I get up at a very slow pace, set up the system, and I go get my coffee, and I do what I'm going to do and sit back, relax, and then I come and say, okay, Holy Spirit. And I'm already asking him before I get up. I ask him at 5:55 when my alarm clock go off, so I'm still waiting. And I'll ask him again at 8 when the alarm go off, and I'm waiting. And he'll tell me most of the time within the hour. Not a lot of time, within the hour. And the reason why is because if you tell me too early, then I might start trying to create something. No, he's not giving me that much time. You don't need any time. Trust me. I'll tell you what you're going to say. And I love it because it's less stress for me. You know, I'm going to just tell, before we get into this, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Yesterday, my sister came up to visit me, and so yesterday we was having so much fun. I said, you know what? I said, I'm not going to do the radio program in the morning. Sister's not going to be on, so I'm just not going to do the radio program in the morning, and we're just going to head out early, and we're going out to have fun. We're going shopping. We're going to run around. We're going to eat, and we're just going to just – she's a photographer, so we're going to go, and she could take pictures of landscaping, and we're just going to have fun, fun, fun all day. And I was going to the bathroom, and so as I was coming out of the bathroom to wash my hands, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, did I tell you not to do the show tomorrow? I said, well, no. Okay. So what make you think you're not doing the show tomorrow because Janice is here? I was so stunned. I mean, he comes, you know, that's the way he works. And when you least expect, I mean, I'm standing there washing my hands, and he just started speaking and said, did I tell you you could do that? No, sir. Okay, then. Yes, sir. You see where I am this morning on this radio. And that takes us back to last week when we were talking about the topic for mothers and daughters was, who's leading you, mothers and daughters? You know, and then it came, bam, right in front of my face yesterday. How dare you tell her that you're not going to get on the radio? Because the only time that I am not on this radio is when we are doing ministry in something else, not just to have some fun time. And I can tell you, out of 9 years, I bet you that hasn't been but about 10 times that I've missed a show. I'm here every Saturday morning. I don't care if nobody's on here. I have to be here because that's what he told me to do. So I got my little spanking yesterday, and thank God it was in the form of a conversation. And you know good and well I could not have gone out this morning and override that conversation with the Holy Spirit yesterday, because it would not have gone well for me this day. If I'd have just said, well, you know what, maybe that wasn't the Holy Spirit, you know, and the Holy Spirit don't care, he knows, and da 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 da, and just, I'm just going to go on out. Who am I being led by? Now I'm being led by Satan, because Satan is the only one that challenges God. He's the only one that don't have enough sense to know he's not going to win, but he'll challenge God every time. And he will challenge God through you, mother, and he'll challenge God through you, daughter. That's what he's doing. I'm a mother, I'm a daughter. We play both roles with some of us. So he wanted to tell me it's okay for you to go out, but I'm not in charge of myself. I'm not working for myself. I don't own myself. So how am I going to make a decision about what God has planned for me to do this day without asking for permission? I came back out, and I said to Janice, I said, Janice, this is what the Holy Spirit just told me. And she just dropped her head and started smiling and like, okay, I knew that was probably coming. I mean, because it just popped out of my mouth, just like, poof, like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Like, you know, just without even thinking. So that's what I'm saying. Even though I'm here on Saturday morning and I'm teaching, oh, let me tell you, I have to walk the fine line too. I have to go before God too. I have to. I don't have a pass. I don't know any more than you know. If you got the Holy Spirit, you got it all. You have all the answers. You just have to seek. And when we don't seek the Holy Spirit, who are we being led by? So I just wanted to share that with you because sometimes, you know, I get people saying to me, you know, when I hear you talk, Dr. Fletcher, about your daughter, and I just wish that me and my daughter had a relationship like you and your daughter. You know, I just don't, and I'm like, stop it. Stop it. There's no magic about our relationship. The only thing that we have is that we try to be honest with each other, and we try to share our intro conversations. No one's going to share all of the intro conversations. And no one's going to tell you everything about them. I don't care who, if your mother, your daughter, no one's going to do that. Because some things, you know, you just got to keep for yourself between you and God. But if someone asks you, if my daughter asks me a question, I will not lie to her. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care if it, what it looks like and how I'm going to feel about it. I'm not going to lie to her. I will tell her the truth. So that's all I say to mothers and daughters when they come to me for counseling. If you can't be honest with each other, then you really don't have a relationship. You have to lay it down. No one is perfect. I found out something about my daughter yesterday. It was so amazing. We was having a conversation. And just in the conversation yesterday morning, we were just laughing and talking. And we were talking about old times and things when she was little and it got to when she was a teenager. And she just blurted out and told me something. She did when she was a teenager. I said, no, come on. And I said, no, not my little perfect daughter. You know, and we laughed about it because I said, no. But see, I would have never known that. So everybody has this personal side. But with a mother and daughter relationship, what you're looking for is that bond, that respect, that love, that unconditional love. And by her telling me that, did not phase one bit. I didn't think nothing else about it. We laughed about it. I said, wow, I would have known that. I wouldn't have. We were telling secrets. We were revealing stuff. And so I was revealing something to her, and she just decided, well, I'm going to throw this out there on you. And we just laughed. I don't think nothing else about that. You got to let it go. Because, you know, as your children, as teenagers, they have a life and you got things you've never told your mother. So when mothers and daughters come and they sit before me, you know, what do you think we're talking about? We're talking about hidden secrets. We're talking about questions that a daughter may have that sometimes it's not what she thought it was. But in her mind as a child, she thought she heard this and carried that for her entire life. Now she's an adult. And she's based everything with her relationship with her mother, with her relationship with her siblings, with her relationship with her family, on what she thought was the truth. To wait 40-some years to find out that what she thought she knew was not the truth. Come on. Can you imagine a daughter at 47 years old finding out for the first time what she thought was the truth all of her life that had imprisoned her intro conversation has affected her decisions to only find out that what she thought was the truth was not the truth. It was not the truth. How devastating is that? So then you got the mother crying. And you got the daughter crying, and the mother saying to her daughter, you thought that all of your life? Why didn't you come to me? And the daughter's saying, I didn't know how to come to you. I didn't think you would tell me the truth. I heard you, but that's not what you heard. Simple miscommunication. there's communication. But people don't want to have an honest conversation. You got to have an honest conversation. It hurt? Yeah, it can hurt. Yes. I got some things. If my daughter asked me, oh, it would hurt me to have to explain it to her. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be honest with you. It would hurt me. But what am I going to do? As a child of God, as an ordained chaplain, as a Christian, come on. You're going to miss heaven for a lie? Not worth it. It's not worth it. I'd rather have an honest conversation. And based on the fact that she loves me enough unconditionally, that we can say whatever we say to each other and not going to be judged and not going to be measured by it. And it's just a matter of open communication and growth. I don't want anything to hinder her because she's afraid to ask me a question. Keep in mind, mothers, we birthed this to this daughter. We carried her for 9 months. 9 months. And those 9 months are very important. It was your temperament, your environment, the state of your mind, all of that, your whole being built the temperament of that child within your womb. So she's going to be a lot like you, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And as I told my mother, see, when you're in your 40s, that's when you really, you know, you really feel like you're grown then, especially when you get past 45, you say, okay, all right, I'm as grown as I'm going to get now. Then you want to ask these questions. So I was asking my mother some questions, and my mother still, as close as we were and as much as we laughed, see, you can do all of that until it comes to a really touchy topic when you don't want to go there. And I wanted my mother to go there. And as much as we talk and laugh, she's my best friend, but she didn't want to go there. And my mother would just get into a little tansy and really start kind of crying. I just can't believe you asked me that. I just feel my friend. And I thought, okay, here we go. Anything else? My mother's a strong woman. You couldn't beat her at it for nothing. I mean, strong. Just my role model, as is the mother, so is the daughter. So if you know anything about me, then you know my mother was more than me, because I'm an image of her, very strong, leadership skill. But there was a certain area she did not want to discuss, and I wanted her to talk about it. And we never did have that conversation. My mother's gone. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't get that conversation, what are you doing? And when they're gone, I can't get it now. I have to just live with the assumption of what I think that the answers are. But why even leave your daughter in that position? Because you are afraid of telling the truth. So now, we went with the strength of relationship, the strength of a mother-daughter relationship a few weeks ago, and the next week we came up with there should be no division between a mother and daughter relationship, and then we talked about how to fix the division in a mother and daughter relationship. And so that brings us up to what I did not know. Oh, no, and then last week we talked about who's leading you, mothers and daughters. And that's when I got my little spanking yesterday for my conversation from the Holy Spirit. I guess he says, you're going to teach who's leading you? Well, who's leading you, Bessie? You see, that's why I tell you when I get up on Saturday morning, I'm only sharing with you my lessons that I learned, because I don't know anything about you out there, audience. I don't know your life. I don't know your truths. I don't know your lies. I don't know any deception. I don't know anything about you except that every once in a while I look and I see where someone was on the radio. And I just go, wow, someone was listening. And oh, how much I appreciate that. But I got to get on here on Saturday morning. And I can't come on wondering if someone else is listening. I have to come on knowing that I'm doing it because I was requested by the Holy Spirit to do it. And I'm accountable to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I don't count numbers. That's not important to me. But it just feels so good to know that someone gets on and listens. I am so honored by that. I just go like, wow, look at this, Lord. And then go back and see how many people go and listen to it later on. I'm just like impressed. Me, you know, you use me. They're not listening to me. They're listening to you. Because someone is going to get this. Either today, next week, next year, 10 years, 50 years from now. I don't know where this information is going. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to do with it. But one thing we do know, God cannot do anything in this earth except doing it through a human. That's why he created Jesus. That's why he came down. He had to come down. It's like, I'm tired. They're not listening. They're not getting it. Let me go down and show them the way. Let me save them. He had to just come do it himself. And as humans, we get a little bit of that. Sometimes we have people helping us or somebody doing something and feel like they just can't get it done. You say, let me just go over there and do it myself. You just go get it done because you know you can get it done. It's over with. You don't have to tell 10 people how to do it and assuming they're going to get it right. And then when they do it, it's not quite right the way you want. So you got to go back and fix it anyway. Jesus, God just said, let me just go and do this. Let me suit up and go down and show them. I can't just show up in someone that's already here. I can do that, but they won't get the message. So I want to be born. I want to come through the whole channel. I want to take the whole journey from beginning of conception all the way to the end. I want them to see the whole journey. This is when they will see it. Then I'll write it down so they can understand it. So that's why it's important to read the Bible. So now, mothers and daughters, all you have to do is one thing. And when I thought of that, that's all I wrote down. Actually, what I wrote down this morning was teach from a document that God showed me some time ago when he had me to do some research. And I went looking for that document. And that first document says, what did God say about love? That's the one thing. You don't have to remember anything else. That's why when he came, suited up as Jesus, he says, when I came through Moses, I wrote down 10 things. I thought that was simple. He said, I'm just going to write down 10 things, 5 on one tablet, 5 on another. He gave it to Moses. He says, now, Moses, I want you to go back down the hill, and what I want you to do, he didn't tell him in front of the whole or everybody because it's just too much bickering and murmuring and adultery and all kind of stuff was going on down there. He's like, you know what, Moses, I need you to come up. Come on up to the mountain. Come on up here with me. Moses gets up there, and he said, oh, Lord, so bright he can't hardly see. He had just bowed his head. It's like, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, now, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm paraphrasing now. This is what I need you to do. I need you to tell them what I actually want them to do. And if they follow these 10 things, then they're going to be all right with me. They'll be in my grace. I can imagine they would be able to move out from the mountain, from going round and round in a circle. He's going to lead them right on into the promised land. These are the things I want you to do. Now, he already told them to take the land. They held back on that. God will tell you to do something. And then you'll start worrying about, well, what Mr. Jones going to say? Well, if I do that, then they're going to talk about me. Well, if I say that, then they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Did I ask you to ask Mr. Jones? Or did I tell you to just go do this? See, that's where we go wrong because we want public opinion. We want public opinion as to what we should and should not do because I don't want to offend anybody. And if I do this, then I'm going to offend them, and then they're going to stop speaking to me, and then now I'm in trouble. with the enemy trying to mess with my computer right now. But you know what? We're going to go on because he's not going to stop this. Excuse me for the noise. I got to plug it up. But yeah, that's what he wants. He wants you to not trust God. But God says what? I got 10 things. So he gave the 10 things. And out of the 10 things, what happened? They couldn't do them. They couldn't even follow 10 simple examples of the Word of God. 10 things. And not only them, me either. Come on, we have to join. They were supposed to do it, show us the way, prepare the way for the future generations, but it was hard because somebody was stealing. Somebody was lying. Somebody was covering their neighbor's wife. Somebody was committing adultery. Somebody was doing that. And some people were doing all of them. The law was hard to follow. And just imagine, after years and years and years and years went by, people were not getting it because the interpretation of the law meant different things to different people. Because sometimes people want to just bend the law. Well, I hear what you say, but I don't think it means quite, because what? I want to tweak it so it'll fit in to what I'm doing and I can feel okay about it. You got it? See, if I tweak it, then I'm not so bad. But now when you look over there at so-and-so, she's worse than me. Because, see, she's doing all of that. I just don't do all of that. I only do this part right here. Okay. So that makes you right and she's wrong. See, we have to look at it. So then I just imagine God just got so tired one day. He said, you know, if they can't do 10, Lord Jesus, I got them all. They don't know how powerful they are. Satan has just done stole their mind. But how good this is. If you could sneak something, it's supposed to be, oh, man, if that's the best thing ever. As my friend used to say, that's gooder than good. Because what? It's the sneaking. It's the cheating. It's the hiding. And they think, I'm not going to get caught. And I can get away with it. But in reality, if you just look up, you just look up and you see, you will see someone watching you. God is watching you. You're like a little fish in a fishbowl without any of that stuff that they put in there. You know, sometimes you have a fishbowl, you got a little plant, and you got a little place for the fish to, a rock, a little something that the fish can go through and hide out. Nothing is in the fishbowl but the water and the fish. Now, where is the fish going to hide? Can a fish hide from you? Every time you walk in that room, every time you look at that fishbowl, you see that fish because there's nowhere to hide. There was someone one time saying, I don't know, these things just popping up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Send a man, where are you going to hide? There's nowhere for you to run. There's nowhere for you to hide. And each of us are in our own personal fishbowl. And God is looking at us straight on. And you think that what you are doing, that you are hiding mother from your daughter and your family? No. God is looking at you. When you get that, you will rethink what you're doing, you'll rethink what you're saying, you'll rethink where you go, you will rethink it if you have any respect for God, if you have any fear for God, you will rethink that. You have to be crazy, and I will say it, crazy to challenge God. You got to be crazy.
to challenge God. It's not going to work for you. And especially when he knows that he told you not to do something. And yesterday, I'm telling you, I know for myself, I repent so quick. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Holy Spirit, please forgive me. I came out of that bathroom repenting. If somebody would have saw me, they'd probably say, what in the world's wrong with this lady? She's got to be crazy. She's talking to herself. But, you know, now they got the cell phones and you got the earplugs and people don't know if you're talking on your phone or what. But it's not like it's been when I was a little girl. You see somebody talking, you just know they was off their chain. I'm coming out going, oh, Lord, please forgive me. Repenting. How dare I decide that I'm not going to get on the radio program this morning? This message right here would have never been. This message could be the message for somebody that the Holy Spirit had lined up to get on the radio this day, or lined up for tomorrow to listen to the archives, or lined up next week. And how dare you, Bessie, decide that you're going to make a change? You're going to just decide to undo what I have planned. But yet you tell me I can use you. At what time and at what expense? When you ready? Oh, I can just use you when you ready? No. Who's leading you? You got to make up your mind. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be hot or cold. You got to go all the way. One way or the other, make up your mind. Because when he wrote the 10 things down, I'm sure God said, surely they can understand this. And they could if they just would have stopped murmuring and complaining. They could have understood what Moses was saying. They could have gotten it, could have gotten on into the promised land and on with their lives. But today, we cry out to God and wonder why things are not happening in our life. We all murmur and complain about something. And I know somebody might be saying, well, that's better than that. I don't murmur and complain. I know. I understand what you're saying. You don't have to convince me. Just think about it. That's all I'm going to say. Because I said that to God. When God showed me this whole theory about the people, the Israelites, and marching around the mountain. And he said, you know why it took them 40 years when it was only a 12-day journey? And I'm like, well, no, because I didn't know. He said, murmuring and complaining. I'm listening. He said, that's what holds my people, because they're murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining don't get my attention. He said, faith moves me. Yes, we may read these things, and you will have the word in you. But until you get the revelation of the word, and that's why he said, when you get wisdom, get understanding. Because wisdom is that word. But if you don't know and get revelation from that word to get the understanding, it doesn't change you. You are changed when you get the understanding. So I'm listening to him, and he says, you know, 12 days, but I took care of them. Now, this is actually a conversation I had with God. I took care of them. The shoes didn't wear out. The clothes didn't wear out. Can you imagine? 40 years. And when they stopped, when they got it and got the leadership, okay, we're going out. We're going to do what God told us to do. They followed. And then he says, all the ones that was murmuring and complaining, they didn't even get to go to the promised land. The children entered into the promised land, a whole new generation. So, mothers, what did that tell us? We got to stop murmuring and complaining. Because we may not make it into the wealth, the prosperity, the level of health that God has promised us above all things in John 3:2. I wish you what? Prosperity, health, even as your soul prospers. He said above all things, that's what he wished for you. But if we don't stop murmuring and complaining, we will miss it. And we have to stop so that our children will get it. And the only way we can do that is by doing one thing. If you can't do the 10, he says, I'm going to come back. And I'm coming with Jesus. And Jesus said, but one thing that you have to do, just one thing that you have to do, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love one another. Now, if you missed that, now, come on. I don't know. I mean, but you will miss it. And you say, how can I miss that? That's just one word. Love. No. It's not the word. The word is the wisdom. Keep in mind, I just told you, the word is the wisdom. You got to get what? The revelation, the understanding of the word in order to get the revelation of the word. Let me say it that way. And once you get the revelation, you get that, that aha moment. Now you are changed. That's when you change. Because when you realize, I got to love my daughter like I love myself. I got to love my neighbor like I love myself. I got to love my coworkers like I love myself. I got to love my church family like I love myself. I got to love the stranger on the street that I don't know like I love myself. And that includes everyone in your household, your husband, your son. You got to love them, mother, like you love yourself. And when you love from that place, that is unconditional, because you don't know anybody. I started off, remember, I'm going back full circle. You don't know anybody. Sometimes you're surprised about things that come out of your own mouth or some of the things that you do. You say, how in the world did I do that? So if you are surprised by some things you do to your own self or from yourself, then how you expect to know anybody else? So we have to love unconditional. And once we love unconditional and make that the one thing, make that the centerpiece of your stage, love, it will vibrate and penetrate everywhere you go. When you walk into a room, people will look and say, who is that? Who is that? And I'm not saying this to brag, because that's not what I'm about. But I always ask the Holy Spirit, wherever I go, I ask that they see you. Don't see me. And I can't tell you. I can just walk into a room, and I see people looking at me, and I'm like, why are they looking at me? See, I forgot I asked the Holy Spirit, let them see you. So they're not looking at me. They're looking at the love that the Holy Spirit is shining. We within ourselves won't be able to do it. But we got to ask the Holy Spirit, you go before me. You prepare the room before me. And when we ask for that, he will show up. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall open. And of course, you got to go seeking in order to find. So stop. Let's stop judging people. Let's stop talking about people. That's not loving. And the only person that it affects, when you send out negative words out of your mouth, they go out and they boomerang and they come right back to you. Every time you spill out something negative about somebody, you know, I don't understand it when I hear people talking about somebody, their opinion about they don't like the way they do this, or they don't do this, and they don't do that. And I'm thinking, how are you going to say what somebody else should do in their life? You don't have no control. God didn't give you but one life to control, and that's that one. But we love to talk about someone else and talk them down in order for you to feel good. So you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
because your soul low self-esteem, and because you don't feel good about yourself, you spill that out of your mouth, because you have to know something before you can do something or say something. It has to be inside of you in order to come out. So that hate that you have, or that dislike, or the nerve that you want to say something negative about somebody, means that what? That's who you are on the inside. But if you replace that with the one thing, the word love, and if everybody, I challenge the audience this week, if you just concentrate, write love. If you come in my house, you see love everywhere, on my water bottles, on my doors. I put love everywhere. Love. Words are so powerful that it penetrates. So when you walk in here, you should feel nothing but love. When I look up, I see love. I have positive words because that filtrates into my atmosphere. I put it on my phone. I put it everywhere because that's the only thing I need to concentrate on. And if I work inside of love, I won't cheat you. I won't steal from you. I won't talk about you. I will pray for you. I will send you love and peace. But we have to get there. See, where I am today is not where I was 10 years ago. I was coming through the journey. And where I am today, it's not where I'm going, because I'm still on the journey. So I don't have it down pat, mothers and daughters. I don't have a recipe that one fits all. All I have is a message that the Holy Spirit is filling through me to you, that there is one thing a mother and daughter need to do, just that one thing, and that's to love each other. And out of love will come the most beautiful mother and daughter relationship humanly possible. You can't beat it, because you'll respect each other, you'll look after each other, you know, you'll just say, I cannot just not take care of my mother. How many times I've had people come to me, mothers and daughters coming in, and tell me they don't even like their mother. You wouldn't even have those thoughts. That's why I work very hard at having a loving relationship with my daughter. And that's what I get from her. Because I don't want to wake up at 90 years old and be a burden on her, and she really don't want to help me, because what? I never showed her really true, honest love. So when you see somebody mistreating their mother, you have to go back and say, what happened? What happened? What happened to the love? I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, audience, mothers and daughters, that was the message. I just thank God. I am so honored and pleased that the Holy Spirit arrested me. This was a good message. This was a spiritual message. I could feel it radiating all through my spirit. And if you just hold on to this right now and just say the word love, just say it, love, love, you'll feel the vibration of the Holy Spirit moving in you. Hold on to that. Take it through your relationships this week. Just take it on a test drive and see what happens. I'd love to hear from you next Saturday morning just to see what your experience was, just from holding on to that word, because where love is, hate cannot come. Where faith is, doubt cannot come. So if you're going to stand in love this week, you're going to have a beautiful week. Just every time something comes up, I'm standing in love in the name of Jesus. All evil has to leave because evil spirits cannot stand where God is. So take hold of that. Tell your daughter about it. Tell your friend and pass the love. I love you. God bless you. Now I can go out and have a beautiful day. Bye-bye. I mean, play. This is beautiful, but go and play. God is allowing me. You can go play now. It's like your mother and father. You know, when you're children, you want to go play. No, you got to do your homework. You got to clean your room. You got to do what I told you to do. And when they finish, you say, you can go play. That's what I heard. You can go play. So I can go play. Have a great day. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.